Your money should serve you and your goals, not the other way around. At Eastern Planning Incorporated, we want to ensure your dreams are within reach. And this starts with a smart financial plan. Welcome to It's Not Just Money, It's Life with Matt and Beth Blecker. In our ongoing podcasts, we will give you clear and trusted guidance, teaching you how to use your finances to make your retirement years the fulfillment of your dreams with a well-balanced life free of worry and stress. We are so excited that you have joined us. So, let's get started.
You may not have heard much, if anything, about it, but the SECURE Act 2.0 could have big implications for you. Consider a change in when you might have to start taking required minimum distributions. That alone should have you sit up and pay attention. And there's more. Beth Blecker is here with Sarah Brenner to talk about some of the ins and outs of the new version. I'm Patrice Sikora. Beth, please tell us about Sarah.
Absolutely. But before I tell you about Sarah, I have to tell you about the company that Sarah is with, because that is the amazing part, which is Ed Slott & Company. And many, many years ago, probably over 20, I became an Ed Slott Master Elite Advisor. Well, first I became an Elite Advisor, and then I had to get up to a Master Elite Advisor. And because of being part of Ed Slott, I have people available to me that know everything there is to know about all the new tax laws and all the IRA distributions and the retirement plans. And Sarah is my go-to person. She is an attorney. She is phenomenal. She is the one who I get to call like she's sitting in my office. And amazingly, she comes back with the answers and I'm able to help all of my clients. And I always go by this saying, which is, you know what you know, and you know what you don't know. And that's okay, because I know I can't fly a plane and I don't have any intention of flying a plane. But the big problem is you don't know what you don't know. And that's where Sarah comes in, because she definitely knows what I don't know. And she and Ed Slott help me know that I can call on them to find all of that out. So now, because there's so many things that go on, especially with IRAs, the newest ones are the SECURE Act, and now we got hit with the SECURE Act 2.0. So I needed my help with Ed Slott and Sarah to make sure I can help my clients. So what I want to do is I want to give you the opportunity to speak to Sarah through me so that you can find out all the things we need to be watching out for from the start of the SECURE Act to the addition of the SECURE Act 2.0. So Sarah, what I'd like to know from you is what my clients need to watch for since 2020 when they put that nasty SECURE Act into effect.
Thank you, Beth. It's great to be here with you today. The SECURE Act, the original SECURE Act, was a game changer. It was passed into law by Congress at the very end of 2019, effective for 2020. And it really upended the retirement planning landscape. It changed everything, particularly for beneficiaries of IRAs. SECURE 2.0, we sometimes call SECURE 2.0 the son of SECURE. That was passed at the end of last year, and it has a whole bunch of different effective dates. Some parts of SECURE 2.0 are effective this year. Some won't be effective for years. SECURE 2.0 is no SECURE. It is not the game changer that the original SECURE Act was. However, it does tinker around the edges quite a bit. There are over 90 provisions that affect retirement accounts. So lots of little changes that retirement savers may find helpful.
So let's just go back to the SECURE Act, because the SECURE Act, the big change in life was prior to the Secure Act, everybody was told that put your children down as beneficiary designations, and then they get to stretch the IRA for their life. And what a great gift a parent can give a child by giving them an IRA that's now their retirement plan. But then the Secure Act changed that completely. So Sarah, tell us how it changed it.
Yeah, it really did. Prior to the Secure Act, IRA beneficiaries were able to get the stretch. So a child who inherited from a parent could stretch distributions from the inherited IRA for decades. They could name a successor beneficiary. They could name their own child, and the stretch could continue. The Secure Act really put an end to that for most beneficiaries. Most non-spouse beneficiaries, instead of looking at the ability to stretch the inherited IRA for decades, now what they're going to be faced with after the Secure Act is a 10-year payout period. So that's a big difference.
Exactly. And that makes people have to really think about planning. Because if you're going to name a child as a beneficiary and you're naming them as a 401k, a 403, or traditional IRA, and hopefully you have a nice large size retirement account and they have 10 years and they inherit that in their peak earning years, all of a sudden they have 10 years where they're going to add significant amounts of money to their taxes every single year. So we need to look at that way before it happens, because obviously we can't make any changes once you're no longer in this world. So we have to start looking at it. And we've talked about some ways where we can help that. And one of those ways is converting your traditional IRA. So can you explain that conversation to us?
Yeah. In the wake of the Secure Act, Roth IRA conversion really becomes a more attractive strategy. And there's a couple reasons for that. The benefit of having a Roth IRA is that if you follow the rules, all of the distributions come out tax and penalty free. So think about that. If you inherit a Roth IRA as a beneficiary, you could get all the money in that Roth IRA tax and penalty free. That's very different, right, than with a traditional IRA, where anything that comes out is most likely going to be taxable. So for IRA owners, it may make sense, especially in light of the Secure Act and the fact that most beneficiaries are going to be facing a 10-year payout period, to think about doing some Roth conversions during their lifetime. Pay the tax now at today's historically low tax rates and leave a Roth IRA tax-free to your beneficiaries. Then, even though Roth IRAs are also going to be subject to that 10-year rule, you won't have to worry about your beneficiaries who might be in their peak earning years taking a serious tax hit.
However, there are some negative facts with taking or converting your IRA, and that's why planning is so important. Because if you're over 65, and if you're on Medicare, and if you take an additional amount of income that year because you're going to pay the taxes, the IRS has given us another friend that we have to worry about, and that's Irma. And so we have to be very careful that we don't get an additional cost for 2 years to our Medicare payments, because the IRS says the more you make, the more you pay, including in Medicare. So we always have to be really careful. But there is a really good, important fact for Roths, and that's your RMDs. And they've changed the law with the Secure Act, or they really didn't change the law. They just modified it a little about your RMDs when you inherit a traditional IRA and a Roth IRA. And so, Sarah, help me explain that with the RMDs in traditional decedent IRAs and Roth decedent IRAs.
Well, with Roth IRAs, a huge benefit to having a Roth IRA is that you do not have to take required minimum distributions during your lifetime. So that's good news for retirement savers. RMDs, when they come out of a traditional IRA, are taxable income. So that's added to your AGI, and that can impact your the taxation of your Social Security. It can cause you to have to pay those pesky IRMA surcharges. With a Roth IRA, you don't have to worry about that issue at all because you don't have to take RMDs. Secure 2.0 does bring some good news for traditional IRA owners, though, when it comes to RMDs. The original Secure Act pushed back the age when RMDs need to start from 70 and a half to 72. Secure 2.0, starting this year, pushes it back a little bit further to age 73. So that's some good news. And 10 years from now, it will go to 75. So inching the age where RMDs have to start back a little bit. So that's some good news that adds, you know, a little bit more flexibility for distribution planning purposes.
True. But remember, if you've started your RMDs, you don't get to change it to a later date. Once you start, you're stuck. So you have to always
remember
that.
That's right. Yep. Yep. If you are under the old rules, you don't get to stop. Once you turn RMDs on, you can't stop them. So if you were already taking them under the old rules, you're unfortunately going to have to keep going. That's a really good point, Beth.
And then the other thing about once you start, you're stuck, is when you inherit a decedent IRA from your parents or your relatives, and they had already started RMDs, we have another rule that we have to worry about for decedent IRAs as well.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff. They've made these rules so complicated. You know, people are really going to need help. They're going to need knowledgeable advisors like you, because we have so many sets of rules coming together. We have the Secure Act, which put in place a 10-year rule for most beneficiaries. Then we have the IRS put out some proposed regulations interpreting the 10-year rule under the Secure Act as requiring annual RMDs during the 10-year period if the IRA owner died on or after their required beginning date. The required beginning date is April 1st of the year following the year that you reach age 73 under Secure 2.0. So when the IRA owner dies after that date, beneficiaries are going to be stuck not only with the 10-year rule, but with annual RMDs. Now, here's another advantage that Roth IRAs offer. All Roth IRA owners are considered to have died before their required beginning date because there are no lifetime RMDs required for Roth IRA owners. What that means for their beneficiaries, more flexibility, no RMDs during the 10-year period. But it is a crazy, confusing set of rules that we have to work with. Thanks, Congress. Thanks, IRS.
and thanks, Ed Slott, for helping me know these things.
We try very hard.
Sarah Patricia, and I've got a question with the RMDs. What if you miss an RMD by mistake? Now, those penalties have changed.
That's correct. If you miss an RMD, there is a penalty, but Secure 2.0 brings some good news. The penalty prior to Secure 2.0 was a hefty 50%. Ouch. Secure 2.0 reduces this penalty to 25%. And if you pay the penalty in a timely manner, it is further reduced to 10%. Now, that sounds like good news, and it is. Anytime a penalty gets reduced, it's good news. But I'll let you in on a little secret. Prior to Secure 2.0, when the penalty was 50%, people would miss RMDs. They would technically be hit with the 50% penalty, but very few people actually paid this penalty. What they would do would be file form. They would take the missed RMD. Yeah, do that first. Then they'd file form 5329 and ask for a waiver of the 50% penalty. And the IRS has been very generous in granting these waivers. So people rarely ended up getting hit with the 50% penalty. It's going to be interesting to see what happens now that we have these new reduced penalties. Are people going to be paying smaller penalties but possibly we'll be looking at more people getting hit with the penalties. So more people may end up paying even though the penalties are reduced, because perhaps the IRS won't be quite so lenient now that we're dealing with reduced penalties rather than that big 50%.
Sarah, I agree completely. I think that they weren't getting any of their 50%. So now they're hoping to get a lot of 10%.
I think you're right. I think, you know, they may have a plan here. You know, they're always looking for ways to raise revenue.
Exactly.
So even though on its face reduced penalties sound good, you know, there is potentially another agenda here.
And what is a timely fashion?
The timely fashion, so it's 25%, but if you pay the penalty by the end of the second year following the year for which the RMD was missed, it's reduced to 10%.
That's not quite so timely, actually. It's a pretty
exactly. They do
time.
Give you. They do.
Yeah,
give you
It's a reasonable period of time to operate. Yeah.
So inside of that planning, remember, if you're thinking about planning for your traditional IRA for your beneficiaries, and you say, let me convert, and remember, not all, a piece, and maybe a piece each year, and you're going to convert a piece of your IRA, your traditional IRA, into a Roth, then your beneficiaries, although they still have the 10-year rule, they have no RMDs, which means that they can hold off taking any distribution from the Roth IRA until the end of the 10th year, let it grow tax deferred. And now all of a sudden they have this nice little pile of money, tax-free, that they didn't take RMDs from. And you may have left them some traditional IRA that they have been taking out over the 10 years. And it can be a nice little balance.
I think that's a really important point, Beth. So many times when we talk about Roth conversions, people tend to see it as an all or nothing strategy. And it really isn't. There's no reason why you can't do a series of small conversions. There's no reason why you have to convert all of your traditional IRA money. You could convert some and leave the rest. That can be a very good strategy for a lot of people.
Especially if you're looking at your charts, which I get to get my EdSlot charts every year, and you're looking at your charts and you say, okay, I'm within this tax bracket. And oh, wait, let me look at Medicare, because if I go up to this amount of money, I have to pay more. But if I stay within this amount of money, I'm still in that same IRMA level. So now I'll only convert $24,000 and I'll stay within my tax bracket, within my Medicare bracket, and I've got some money moved to a Roth. So it's planning. It's not all or none, and it's not something that you want to do haphazardly. But now I want to go to those people who are still working, because the Secure Act 2.0 made several changes for those. And one of the first ones I want you to explain to us is what happens now with the catch-up provision.
Yes, Secure 2.0 really expanded Roth opportunities. We like to say it's Rothamania. Congress loves Roths because Roths mean immediate revenue, right? Because it's after tax whenever money goes into a Roth. So a couple things effective for this year, Secure 2.0 allows SEP and simple Roth plans. Also, for the first time, Secure 2.0 allows employer match and non-elective contributions to be made as Roth contributions. That was never allowed in the past. Next year, in 2024, plan catch-ups are going to be required to be made as Roth contributions if wages are greater than $145,000 in the prior year. So there's going to be people out there for the first time that are going to be required. If they want to do a catch-up contribution, it's going to have to be a Roth. So I see a lot more Roth in the future.
So I just have really, we've talked about so much and I really don't want to overwhelm everybody, but I really have one more question. You put your money into a Roth, and there's that 5-year wait period, right? So you can't take the money out of your Roth unless you waited 5 years, or you don't get to take it out tax-free. So you have to be very careful in when you're planning your Roth. One of the questions I do have is, and this is actually a question that I haven't asked you yet, and I don't know the answer for. I know if you put deposits, contributions into your Roth, that starts your 5-year clock. If you put a conversion into a Roth, that starts your clock. And what happens if you have a 401k and now you're going to move it into an IRA? When does your 5-year clock start then?
Yeah, the 5-year rule for Roth IRAs is super, super confusing. We get a ton of questions on that. And before I get into the details, I'd like to just, you know, remind everybody of the big picture, which is if you do what you're supposed to do with a Roth IRA and you put money in it and you don't touch it until you reach retirement age, everything's tax and penalty free. So it's super easy. Now, we know life doesn't always work that way, and sometimes people have to tap these accounts sooner rather than later. The 5-year rule begins with your first Roth contribution or conversion. Either one will start your 5-year clock ticking. Now, with Roth IRAs, your 5-year clock is aggregated, meaning that once you start one Roth IRA, that kicks off your 5-year clock for qualified earnings for all of your Roth IRAs. Roth plans don't work that way. Each plan has its own 5-year clock, and starting a 5-year clock with a Roth 401k won't start a 5-year clock for your Roth IRAs. So one thing that I've been suggesting now with Roth 401k and other types of Roth employer plans becoming more common, if you have that type of plan, you may want to start a Roth IRA. So when you do a rollover at some point down the road, potentially from your plan to your Roth IRA, your 5-year clock would be already going and hopefully even satisfied. So yeah, the 5-year clock is super tricky.
So then the conversation is, if you're making a lot of money and you can't make a Roth contribution, you might want to just do a little bit of a transfer from your IRA, even using the pro rata rule, just to get that Roth IRA open.
Yeah, you'd have a bunch of choices. If you have an existing traditional IRA, you could do a small conversion that would get the Roth IRA 5-year clock going. You might want to consider a backdoor Roth IRA where you make a traditional IRA contribution, maybe a non-deductible traditional IRA contribution, and then convert that. That would get your 5-year clock going.
Great. Well, I could talk to you forever, as you know.
Well, but they've given us a lot to talk about, Beth. Between the SECURE Act and SECURE 2.0, Congress has certainly kept us busy.
But I really, Sarah, I want to thank you so much for being my guest today, and also for always being there for me. And you've just given us so much stuff, and I really want to thank you. And really, thanks for being part of my life.
Oh, thank you for the kind words, Beth. It is always my pleasure to talk with you. And thank you so much for inviting me today. This has been great.
Great.
Sarah, okay. Beth, it's really been great information. It really underscores the need for planning, as you've been saying, Beth. Definitely planning. Follow this podcast, listeners, so you know when more information is ready for you, and share it with others. And thanks for being with us.
Thank you for listening to the It's Not Just Money, It's Life podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Eastern Planning Incorporated. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning. Securities and advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Incorporated, RAA, member FINRA, SIPC. RAA is separately owned, and other entities and/or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of RAA.